The important role that inspectors general play in identifying cybersecurity vulnerabilities, well, that was certainly highlighted this week with the OPM cyber breach. But as we speak this morning, IG vacancies still dot the federal government. Some openings have persisted for years. Michael Smallberg is an investigator for the Project on Government Oversight, a group that's been tracking the IG issue in some detail. He joins me now to discuss some of the issues surrounding the absence of inspectors general at federal agencies. Mr. Smallberg, great to have you on. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
All right. So give us a current state of affairs with IG vacancies. There are still a lot of them. There's been some nominations and a couple were recently filled. Give us the report card.
Yeah, and there have been a lot of updates in the last several weeks. POGO's executive director, Daniel Bryan, testified earlier this month at a Senate hearing that focused in on this exact issue, the IG vacancies, some of which have languished for hundreds or even thousands of days at the departments and agencies across the federal government. But as of today, there are 9 vacancies, 8 at positions that are appointed by the president, confirmed by the Senate. The president has offered nominees for 4 of those positions. Just this month, he offered a nominee for the IG's office at the Department of the Interior, which has actually now gone more than 6 years without a permanent Senate-confirmed watchdog in place. So we do track those vacancies on our website, pogo.org. We've set up a page, Where Are All the Watchdogs? So the public can see how long those vacancies have lasted, whether it's the president or the agency that's official for responsible for appointing that watchdog, and how long it's been since there's been an appointment or someone that's offered up for a nomination. So we can see whether the delay is on the administration or whether it's taking a long time for Congress to confirm those nominees.
Now, of the IG positions, which of them or all of them are require Senate confirmation?
Among the current vacancies, as I say, there are 9, and 8 of those require nomination by the president and confirmation by the Senate.
So the confirmation is required at CFO Act agencies, basically?
Correct.
Okay.
And other, generally speaking, many of the larger departments, for example, as I said, the Department of the Interior has gone more than 6 years without a permanent IG, but we also have some very long-standing vacancies at the VA, and other agencies that have had systemic problems that we think are really best addressed by having a permanent Senate-confirmed watchdog in place who has, the protections of the Inspector General Act, but it also, is not afraid to really challenge the agency and to publish findings that may at times be controversial. And as you say, we were reminded of this, of course, recently with the major, catastrophic cyber breach at OPM. The IG there had been reporting and warning for years about the vulnerabilities of that agency, and it just underscores the importance of having an aggressive watchdog in place.
And what, if anything, can we surmise when an administration lets a vacancy go for 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 or longer years?
Yeah, and it's important to remember that vacancies can occur for any number of reasons. For instance, on the day that we testified and the Senate held that hearing, Todd Zinsser, who had been the permanent Senate-confirmed IG at the Department of Commerce, actually stepped down from his position. There had been a bipartisan probe in the House which found that Zinsser and some of his deputies had actually retaliated against some whistleblowers and, in fact, even withheld a history of retaliation during his Senate confirmation process. So that's a case where we would argue it's actually better to create that vacancy and to take the time to find someone who's perhaps better fit for that role. In other cases, there really, frankly, is no excuse why it's been such a long delay, why it's taken so long for the administration to even offer a nominee for these positions. And so that's where we think it's really important for Congress to play its role in highlighting those vacancies and in putting pressure on the administration to fill these positions.
And if you look at the offices of Inspector General across the agencies, what's your sense of how well they're funded and staffed? Because an IG doesn't operate by him or herself.
It's a great question, and there is a mechanism now by which IGs can formally protest if they don't think they're getting the resources they need. And it's important to remember that many IGs really do provide an important return on investment in terms of returning funds that are wasted or abused to the U.S. taxpayer. So it's of course important to make sure that they have the funding they need. But one of our big concerns, both for acting and permanent IGs, is that there's an incentive for them in their reports to Congress to sometimes highlight some of the small window investigations that return, you know, perhaps a minimal amount of money for the U.S. government, but sometimes there isn't as much attention placed on some of the big fish problems that have escaped oversight over the years. And sometimes those recommendations don't always lead to monetary recoveries, but lead to really important improvements in our security and our health and safety. So, you know, it's important to remember that you have to often look at individual IG offices to see what the most important issues are, to make sure they have the staffing and resources they need. And it's also important to remember that, you know, IGs do serve this unique role where they report both to the agencies and to Congress. So it is often important when IGs feel they aren't getting the resources or the attention that they need to go to Congress and to sound the alarm. And we often worry that acting IGs, especially those who are, you know, vying for the permanent job, may not always be in the best position to play that role.
We're speaking with Michael Smallberg. He's an investigator with the Project on Government Oversight. And that point you made about the return on investment is an important one. I was thinking of that this morning when the VA IG office has returned an investigation of the death of a single veteran at a single hospital because of a lawsuit brought by the family. And the IG was asked to do this investigation by the two senators from Wisconsin. And so what they found was really the VA activity at that hospital in Wisconsin did not contribute to the death. They could find no evidence that there was wrongdoing by the VA staff. They did make some recommendations, which they said wouldn't have helped in this case, but while they were doing this, they found these issues. And so that's an example of where maybe they can help an agency or help a facility, but really the issue was not big in terms of what is often looked at across the federal government.
Quite right, and at the hearing earlier this month, several senators pointed out that this is an IG vacancy where there may literally be lives on the line. And I would also add that this is an IG office that, unfortunately, we found sometimes does not make its reports public to us or even to Congress when they find or substantiate serious allegations of harm or death to veterans. And in fact, this is actually a problem we've seen at IG offices that are headed by both permanent and acting officials, is that they often require the public or even members of Congress to file FOIA requests for these reports. So again, we do worry that does, in some cases, shield the agency or the department from the independent oversight that's needed to really hold the agencies accountable and implement the reforms that are needed.
And that brings up another point. I mean, in some ways, IGs are like people in the clergy. You know, we expect perfect rectitude from them, but who watches the IGs in the federal government?
It's a great point, and IGs are certainly not perfect, and sometimes their recommendations are not accurate or helpful, and in some cases, the individual IGs themselves even abuse their authority. There is an office, the Federal Council of IGs, has an integrity committee that's responsible for investigating allegations of misconduct by senior IG officials, but often those investigations take very, very long to play out, and there's a little bit of a black box about what that integrity committee does. So POGO and members of Congress have actually recommended reforms to accelerate that process so that we can have more transparency and a little bit more timely investigations into alleged IG wrongdoing. But at the end of the day, is that, you know, often Congress, as one of the bosses of the IGs, I think has to really play that oversight role, and it stresses the importance of having the kind of hearing we saw earlier this month. And in fact, all 16 members, Democrat and Republican, of the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee have called on the president and the administration to fill the existing IG vacancies. So it just underscores the importance of congressional oversight in holding IGs accountable and ensuring that the IG system is working as intended.
How much control does a given IG have over the Office of IG workload? Are they like the GAO where everything comes in an order from Congress, or can they say, you know, I'd like to look at that because nobody's looked at that in a while?
Well, one of our big concerns is that Congress, in some cases, has placed undue mandates on IGs. And so we do worry that some IG offices have to spend an inordinate amount of time and resources fulfilling congressional mandates that may be outdated or may not be responsive to the most current and timely problems facing the agency. But some IG offices do have a lot of leeway in setting long-term strategy and in making staffing and resource decisions. And again, that's where we worry that someone who's only in that position for a temporary time and may not know whether they'll be there for days or months or years, it's much harder for them to set long-term strategy at the office. And this is no disparagement against the hardworking staff at IG offices who are often able to continue their work under acting or permanent leadership. But, all things being equal, we think it's just much better to have that permanent Senate-confirmed watchdog in place who can set long-term vision for the office and really be an effective leader.
And a final question, what does it take to be a good IG in the 21st century in the government we have?
Well, certainly transparency is a huge component to that. For example, we're very concerned right now about a potential shift in Afghanistan, where the Special Inspector General for Afghanistan Reconstruction, which has often done an excellent job of making its reports available online to the public and to other stakeholders, there's a possibility now that the lead responsibility for overseeing Afghanistan reconstruction is going to shift to the DOD IG, which we found has often labeled its reports for official use only and requires people to file FOIA requests and wait months to actually get that information. So that's an example of where, we think a 21st century IG certainly needs to be doing a better job of putting its reports out there. And also really,
I was going to say that would be a case of close but no cigar. Sorry, it's Friday.
Exactly. And we're shocked still to find that many IG offices, frankly, don't publicize their reports, don't engage the press and Congress when they uncover really serious findings of wrongdoing. Obviously, we don't want IGs just, running and running and leaking whenever there's sort of a gotcha finding. But when they've given the agency a chance to respond and there are disagreements, as we saw with the OPM Inspector General and the agency there, it's really important for those watchdogs to shout their findings from the rooftop so that we all understand these critical problems and can push for the right solutions.
Michael Smallberg is an investigator for POGO, the Project on Government Oversight. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.